KZMB All Zombie Radio.
I expect something weird's about to happen.
I've been having the weirdest feelings lately, like something weird's about to happen. And when I get those weird feelings, something weird usually happens.
You stick your head in the sun, they're gonna come up behind you and bite off your ass.
I thought I was free of Dr. Fred and those crazy Edisons forever. But now, I know that I must go back to the mansion.
Zombie.
Get out there and make it look good.
Yeah, well, she's a clown town on a gambling green. If it's a chicken dog in a movie. Along there, baby, got a wrecking machine. Like an axe, I'm falling on me.
Believe in the boogeyman.
Remark Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
What starts as a simple story of love and sexual passion ends in an orgy of diabolical bloody lust.
Hey there, fiends, queens, and Martian teens.
Hello, I think.
Thanks for tuning in to Remark Radio, the world's original all-horror radio show. It's me, I'm here, your host, never you fear. It's Remark Radio's own Tomb Dragomir.
Can you feel me look into your heart? Can you feel me in the pit of your stomach? Can you feel me in you? In your heart? Don't make me come there.
This week on the broadcast.
Which horror icon would you resurrect in a seance if you could?
Well, I'm completely and utterly at heart a Jason Voorhees fan, so I would bring him back like the beginning of Part 6.
Our blood spattered guide talks to Jason Bangert from God Module for 66 seconds.
If the institution ever found out about this, they would haul our butts back in and straitjacket them.
In the caustic, critics take a loving look at a new Herschel Gordon Lewis documentary, The Godfather of Gore.
But to me, the funniest part of Blood Feast was that tongue that we left in the refrigerator at the Suez.
And it started getting bad.
Oh, yeah. The top power went out, and it was a brutally hot day. And I guess it was Scott who went in with a bunch of pine saw.
He brought some pine saw.
And
he said,
that
take
tongue.
Care of
it. And you and I took the pledge we would not tell the actress what we had done to that tongue.
Terror tunes en route from the little black bottles. H.G. Lewis himself, we've got new Alice Cooper, the crewman, polka dot cadaver, plus tons more fun to come.
Isn't it delightful?
On the Home of the Owl, all rots and roll radio rumor, here's Wolfman from the real Tuesday World. Let's go!
Going to do?
Nothing.
You'll have to get out of London.
What for?
We're not going to have this conversation.
It's time.
It's not time. You've got a duty to live, same as the rest of you.
Well, not quite the same as the rest of you.
Polka dot cadaver, slaughterhouse striptease.
Television, politician, monkey brain, lobotomy, TBN. Welcome to all new arrivals. Assault.
denialist slob. You can't deny me, you can't even fake it. Handcuffed, turned around, bent over and taken. Lying on a deathbed, tied up in vines. Cut from the fabric in a room full of knives. Shell shocked and writhing, foaming through the mouth. Eat you alive till I'm 6 feet down. Now you're
you've got an alternative to what we're doing. We'd be happy to listen to it.
I got an alternative. Yeah, yeah, I got an alternative. Let's get in that old whirly bird there. Find us an island someplace, get juiced up, and spend what time we got left soaking up some sunshine.
Night of the Living Dead. Are they slow-moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Indeed, indeed. And now it's that time of the show where we check in with Shannon and see what just the hell is happening in this wacky world of horror. Hey, Shannon, what's happening?
Did you hear how Justin Timberlake actually kind of fooled everyone by going around Comic-Con dressed as Sesame Street's Ernie? Toom actually tried to do the same thing, except he was dressed as Prairie Dawn and didn't turn out as well. Hey, everyone, I'm Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. This is the last weekend for the European Fam Film Festival. It runs to the 18th in Strasbourg, France, and George A. Romero is president of the jury. There will be tributes to his films, as well as Todd Browning's, and more. And of course, no festival is complete without a zombie ball. Head to StrasbourgFestival.com for the details. Nashville Horror and Comic Fest is October 1st and 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. A film festival, trivia contest, costume contest, and a zombie beauty contest are just some of the events, with a host of guests from the print industry right through to the beauty industry. Tickets just $5, and for all the info, go to ComicCityTN.com. The Erie Horror Fest will be October 27th to the 30th in Erie, Pennsylvania. 4 days of horror films, vendors, and guests. This year's guests include Tom Tolles, The Boondock Saints, and A. Michael Baldwin, and a whole lot more. Tickets for the 4 days is $40, with individual tickets starting at $15. Get more info and tickets at EerieHorrorFest.com. And if you know something happening horror-wise and you want the whole world to know, send me an email, Shannon@RumorgRadio.com.
Thanks, Shannon. Your smile is like a golden fucking rainbow.
Yeah, sure, whatever, Tim.
All right. So we got the new Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare, the big follow-up to Welcome to My Nightmare. Also produced by Bob Ezrin. I'm going to play a cut for you guys today. But first, I thought I'd take a little tour over some of the good and some of the bad. Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare.
All right, and my next guest, an iconic artist who is inducted into this year's Welcome to the Hall of Fame. He's on tour. We'll be here in Los Angeles, The Whiskey, on September 15th. Tonight, he's performing a song from his new record and sequel to the classic album, Welcome to My Nightmare, which will be released September 13th. Please welcome Alice Cooper, featuring Oriente.
Pretty much goes on like that. Not a bad cut, you know, kind of classic Coopery, whatever. I probably wouldn't have chosen as the single, but that's just me. There's a couple really low points on Welcome To, including this disco bloodbath boogie fever in which Alice, well, yeah, he's rapping.
Here you are in the club with your bottle full of bub. You got grill, you got blame, but player, you don't know a thing. Put your hands in the air, stick them up like you don't care. Face the wall, count to ten, we mow you down, reload again.
Oh, no. I don't know about that one. It sounds a little like True Blood meets the Jersey Shore, if you know what I mean.
I can really relate to that.
What?
I said, I can't wait.
Cheers.
Cheers to having a good time.
And girls.
Yes, girls.
JWoww and Snooki. To me, like, they're just too fake for me anyway.
Like, oh my god, yeah. There's also this, like, excessively auto-tuned ballad called I Am Made of You. Yeesh. Check it out.
In the beginning, I was blind, living in a world devoid of light. In the beginning.
Keep waiting for Cher to pop up. Okay, so that's the bad. There is some good stuff going on here on Welcome to My Nightmare. Check it out, it's Ghouls Gone Wild. Hang ten, baby!
We're gonna have a bash and we're glad you finally got here. Cause we're already trashed and the band is really hot, yeah. We're gonna dance our heads off and we're gonna keep it tight. If we keep ourselves together, we might make it through the night.
Ghouls Gone Wild, do-do-do-do-do-do. So that was pretty fun, I like that. What else? We've got a little ode sort of to the first one with The Nightmare Returns. You might recognize the vibe here, it's pretty cool.
I'm a little tired and feeling hazy. I just need to rest my eyes. But I won't go to sleep because it's crazy what happens to me in the night. Cause when I go too deep into my slumber, ugly faces, awful places, I don't want to go. No.
There's a couple other cuts, namely The Congregation and When Hell Comes Home, I think it's called, is it? Yeah. So on the whole, a pretty decent album that obviously can't fully recapture the greatness of the original. There's some low points, but enough high points to keep Alice fans and new fans happy. So check it out, Welcome to My Nightmare, the sequel.
Words he speaks are true. We're all humanary stew. We don't pledge allegiance to.
Alice Cooper, Last Man on Earth, on Reorg. Radio.
I don't know why my whole world came crashing down. I just woke up in Lonely Town. I opened up my eyes, and much to my surprise, look at this heaven that I found. Don't need to care about tomorrow. I got no pain, I got no sorrow. I'm the last man on earth, so tell me what it's worth. Am I a beggar or a king? Got no trouble, time, eternity is mine. I got a whole lot of everything. I can take this town and just burn it to the ground. Smash every window that I see. I can smoke, I can drink, I can swear and I can stink. There ain't no one to bother me. No, no. Don't need to care about tomorrow. I got no pain, I got no sorrow. I'm the last man on earth, so tell me what it's worth. Soul to talk to me, but that's okay. I never like them. I'm the last man on earth, and I know what it's worth. I'm not a beggar, I'm a king. Got no troubles, got no time.
Vampires, alive among the lifeless, that make the night hideous with their inhuman cravings. If they are not destroyed in the flaming pits of hellfire, or staked to the ground in the light of the sun, will the unbelievable become real? A world of inanimate zombies by day? Irresistible, horrifying attackers by night? Can a zombie woman's hunger for love repopulate the earth?
Your You're listening to Rumor Radio.
Really, all I know about goth is dark.
And it's I know about Satan worshiping, correct? With the bats and the spooky kind of things.
This is Bobby Steele of the Undead, and you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa LaDussard. I am your blood-spattered guide to music on Rumorg Radio, and this week we're going to have ourselves a wee seance, a 60-second seance of sorts, with a guy named Jason Bangert. Jason is the lead singer of God Module, a dark electro-industrial goth band from just outside of Seattle, Washington.
Seattle!
Stop it, you're killing me! Seattle!
They've just released their seventh record. It is called Seance, and it is filled with songs about Ouija boards and Devil's Night and other things that happen in the dark around this time of year. Jason was raised in Michigan and in Florida on a diet of horror movies and Misfits records, and somehow, after discovering Skinny Puppy, he turned to the dark side of drum machines and has kept going ever since. The Seance record is on Metropolis, which is, of course, the preeminent industrial label of the United States. So I called over to the crypt outside Seattle, Washington, where God Module lies.
Seattle!
And Jason humored me for, well, even more than 60 sick seconds.
Sick thing!
66 seconds.
Okay, Jason, from God Module, are you ready to play 66 seconds with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. You have lived in Dearborn, Michigan, and Florida, and Washington State. What is the scariest thing about those places?
Well, Dearborn would be the fact that it's closer to Detroit, which is a terrifying place. Florida would be the fact that it's in the South, and there's terrifying people. And Washington would be that there are way too many hippies in Seattle, and those are terrifying to me, too.
Take that, Washington!
What is the most important thing you ever learned from Glenn Danzig?
That I'm happy that I'm not as short as he is.
What's your name again?
Danzig,
huh?
Now, is there a way to get the blood to flow up the walls?
I don't see why not.
When's the last time you made a devil lock?
Honestly, probably about 3 weeks ago when I was got my hair cut.
Which horror icon would you resurrect in a seance if you could?
Well, I'm completely and utterly at heart a Jason Voorhees fan, so I would bring him back like the beginning of part 6.
You're not going to open that. Hand me the crowbar. He must have really messed you over. Yeah, fuck you, Jason.
What's actually more frightening to you, Captain Howdy in The Exorcist, or the fact that there is a pink girl's Ouija board for sale at Toys R Us?
Totally the pink girl's Ouija board. But that's awesome at the same time, because I like the idea of people being tricked to death and thinking that it's some fun little game. I think I'd still pick the pink Ouija board, though.
We're here with Kyle Thompson, who's with his sister using his Ouija board.
I'm scared.
Just shut up and do this.
Let's take a look and see what happens.
Mom, she's being possessed again.
Ah, the joys of being siblings.
Now, you're about to go with your band on the Gothic Cruise. What are you going to put in your luggage?
I'm going to put a lot of sunblock, maybe a couple rubber bats, and Dracula cape, and some swimming trunks.
See this hat, 'twas my cat, my evening wear, vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtles necks, I've got my share, puree of poodle on my noodle, it shall rest.
Finally, Jason, what is God Module's evil plan for world domination?
It is just that, world domination. And hopefully, as time goes by, become a little bit more entrenched in the world of horror rather than just the world of gothic industrial music, which gets a little old sometimes.
Well, we're all for that here on Rumorg Radio because, you know, just like you, we like it spooky.
Thank you. And I like it spooky as well.
I like it spooky.
God Module will be on the Gothic Cruise this year, funny enough, and on the Triptych Tour with Imperative Reaction and System Sin, which is going all across the United States in September and October. Meanwhile, we're going to play a track from the band's new album, Seance. This is Ouija from God Module on Rumorg Radio.
How can you believe in spirits if you don't believe in God or Satan?
There's been evidence of their existence. Eyewitness accounts, photographs, recordings, you name it. And I've contacted someone.
What, a Ouija board?
Ouija.
What?
It's pronounced Ouija, not Ouija. It comes from the French and German words for yes. Oui, ya. Ouija. 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 Ouija.
Gifts, from life into death. Come Here's Herschel Gordon Lewis and the amazing Pink Holes. The South's gonna rise again. Stay tuned. The Caustic Critics are coming up right after this.
There's a story you should know from 100 years ago, and 100 years we've waited now to tell. Now them Yankees come along, and they'll listen to this song, and they'll wake in fear to hear that rebel yell.
And they'll wake in fear to hear this rebel yell. Yee-haw! Oh, the South gonna rise again. Yee-haw! Oh, the South gonna rise again.
Robert E. Lee broke his musket on his knee in 1,000 pieces, shattered on the ground, but he looked up then, and he gathered up his men, and from his lips there came an awful sound.
And from his lips there came an awful sound.
Yee-haw!
Oh, the South's gonna rise again. Yee-haw! Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Stonewall took a gun and he made the Yankees run, but he took a fatal bullet in the chest. As he fell down dead, old Stonewall said, I'm a-giving you a dying man's request.
I'm giving you a dying man's request.
Yee-haw!
Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Yee-haw!
Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Jeb Stuart spurred his horse and the Yankee ran, of course, but there wasn't any powder for his gun. So he said to his boys, let's make a lot of noise and we'll charge again and make them Yankees run.
And we'll charge again and make them Yankees run.
Yee-haw!
Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Yee-haw!
Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
Hello, I'm Herschel Gordon Lewis. I'm at the Festival of Fear 2007, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium.
The Caustic Critics. Critics.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics.
They're here.
All right, this is Feed.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
And this week, we're going to take a look at the Herschel Gordon Lewis documentary, The Godfather of Gore, out now on DVD courtesy of Something Weird Video, co-directed by Frank Henenlotter.
Right, Mr. Basket Case and Frankenhooker and all that great stuff, right?
Exactly.
Want a date? Going out? Looking for some action?
I got to tell you, this is the ultimate love letter to a guy of, like, to, actually, sorry, screw that. This is a hand job. This is Hennenlotter's hand job.
A digital hand job.
To Herschel Gordon Lewis, the godfather of gore.
And Tomb Dragon Me, if you dare put in that motherfucking didum fucking sound on any of this, we'll come over to your house and teach you a lesson.
He doesn't have a house.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you all.
Are you kidding? Don't you picture him like in the sub-basement of some apartment building where the furnace is and water dripping and cats?
Don't look in the basement.
Like screaming rats and all that.
He keeps them in cages.
Oh, I believe that. That's where he gets his sustenance from. How do you think he gets that deep, gravelly voice?
Thousands of rats with their eyes blazing red. Like his, only smaller. Rats.
But it's the definitive biography of H.G. Lewis's career, not to be confused with H.G. Wells.
Oh, hold on. He didn't write The Time Machine and War of the Worlds and all that?
Absolutely not, no.
Oh.
A lot of people thought that.
I'm going to have to IMDb this and make sure that you're telling the truth.
No, it's true. When he was here for 2007 and he was a guest, somebody I know said, wow, he's still alive?
He is ancient anyway in his own right. I mean, this is a guy who I saw back in 2005 at the Chiller Theater. But you know what? He got up there and he was singing and dancing with his band. He sang the theme from 2001 Maniacs and it was amazing.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's still sharp as a tack too.
Well, this biography is essentially anchored by two very candid interviews. One with H.G. Lewis himself and his partner David Friedman. Now, most of the tales that they tell have already been told on their numerous commentary tracks on their various DVD releases. So fans who are familiar with the work to that degree are not going to learn a lot of new material in this. But it's still a hell of a lot of fun watching them prattle on in person.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love these guys. Like at one point, Friedman's like, he's got his shirt open, he's got a big mustard stain on his wife Peter and everything.
Yeah, this one scene. But you know what? At that age, you just don't give a fuck.
It must be. I what I also like about
what was
this,
that close-up?
Oh my god, there's like some like 3D... like close-orama vision of like focusing right into his eyeballs in the space between his teeth.
Yeah, they got like a nostril cam on the dude.
Oh my god, kind of scary. We saw it on a big screen, so we were like, "Ah, what is that?" What I liked about it was there's a lot of people: John Waters, Joe Bob Briggs. These
John
guys.
John Waters is great.
Oh, his retelling the first time you ever saw any kind of
I like that you're like listening and like there's shitloads of really cool people like John Waters, Joe Bob Briggs,
that's all.
That's pretty much the end of the line.
See, I'm
Frank Henelotter chimed in a couple of times.
What I like though is they actually went back to dig up some of the actors, some of the people from the original movies to show, you know, what they remember of them. And you know, Ray Sager does a great like imitation of H.G. Lewis, and they have that little kid from 2001 or 2000 Maniacs, who you'd never guess is that kid, and what a weirdo he's turned out to be, eh?
My favorite is they go into H.G. Lewis's house. It's like
oh my
a fucking
god.
Palace.
He has a gold sink.
I don't need any more money. I'm not greedy. As long as I've got my health and my millions of dollars and my gold house and my rocket car, I don't need anything else.
Like, it's a sink made out of gold. It's funny because he's always telling people how he didn't make any money on these movies, but he's got a fucking sink made out of gold.
Well, because he made tons of money in direct marketing. He's one of the world's leading authorities on direct marketing. He's more known in that world. He's written tons of books, lectures all over the world.
Yes.
That's where he's made his dough.
Okay, but let's face it.
This is just for fun, this
right.
stuff.
But this is what we're... This is all we care about. All I care about is I can remember seeing the Blood Feast, these movies, that rich, bright red, obviously fake blood, the women with the... who, you know, all their talents were in their bikinis, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what I remember H.G. Lewis from.
Rednecks and black audiences were familiar with gore films. They didn't play in fancy theaters. They played in the South and in drive-ins and exploitation theaters for the least discriminating viewer. In Baltimore, they called it, "I want to see some green." That meant gore, which I didn't even know. That was a black expression I would hear in the blaxploitation. "Let's see some green," they'd yell.
And of course, for those unfamiliar with his work, this is the man who essentially invented the gore film.
Did he invent the word gore? Is that his?
He claims to have, yeah.
I've often compared Blood Feast to a Walt Whitman poem. It was no good, but it was the first of its kind.
Yeah, so you got Blood Feast and 2000 Maniacs, Color Me Blood Red, The Wizard of Gore, The Gore Gore Girls. But what's interesting in this is it talks about what he did before that. And that's all I know him for, so I didn't know about him and Friedman doing the Nudie Cuties. Yeah. All these great movies that when it was, you couldn't show pornography, obviously, but it was okay to show naked women. As long as it was had
ridiculously
something.
Non-sexual situations.
Yeah, and even though, but back then that was still like people were like, movie theaters were getting shut down, and even if you were even watching the movie, you could get arrested, which is just phenomenal.
My favorite part is John Waters analyzing H.G. Lewis's gore films as though they're pornography.
Yeah.
They're shot like pornography, they have the same cadences, and instead of the cum shot, you have the gore shots. And I think that's quite insightful.
These were movies made just to piss off some people in a way that they couldn't arrest them for yet. There wasn't laws yet.
You can't ever say, this is a great Herschel film, and this is a bad Herschel film. The degrees of greatness to awfulness are really close together.
Let's face it, production value-wise, acting quality value-wise. Of course, one of the fun things about H.G. Lewis is the way he goes off on his actor, Connie Mason, the chick from Blood Feast, who he did not like. He openly despised. They did not have a good relationship with. She is one of the world's most terrible. Actually, this was a Joe Bob Briggs observation. You've got the world's most terrible non-actor, Connie Mason, yeah, squaring off against one of cinema's most famous overactors.
Ray Melson.
What's his name?
Mal Arnold.
Mal Arnold, the Fuad Ramses from Blood Feast.
We got to get over to the Fremont House. They're having a dinner party tonight, and Fuad Ramses is the caterer. Fuad Ramses?
Yeah, who was just some kind of bodybuilder they found and convinced that he would, you know,
pose
nude.
Spray painted his eyebrows silver and tried to make him look much older than he was.
And dragged his foot around like, incredible, but it works.
Oh, my Ishtar, take me unto yourself.
Because I love it.
I do have to say, though, it is a lot of fun, but it's not a particularly amazingly crafted documentary film. Like, if you bought a ticket for this at a documentary film festival expecting to see something like Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work. Did you see the Joan Rivers doc?
No.
It's amazing. And I just saw the Paul Williams doc. It's amazing.
Paul Williams, I would go see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But this is not in that caliber.
No,
it's barely good enough for a standalone release.
You and I, we laughed a lot during it, but there was big sections of kind of boredom. I liked seeing some of the outtakes from the old movies. That was kind of done.
Right.
Right, but...
No, I wasn't bored. I just don't think it's going to take you inside H.G. Lewis's psyche in a really probing fashion. There's probably another documentary that could be made about the man.
We'll have to wait till he dies. It might be harder to get an interview with him, but...
I'm fucking speechless.
I am speechless. I am without speech.
Why? I think that this kind of thing needs to be done after someone dies. It's like Herschel Gordon Lewis, the godfather of gore, a retrospective of the man, the legend, that kind of thing. This just seems a little preemptive. It's neat, but he can still do things. He's still, you know, you've done it up to this point. What if he comes out with a whole bunch of more movies or something? Probably not going to happen, but that's actually, they didn't even talk about the stuff he's kind of been in since. They just kind of ended it.
Let me ask you a question. Do they in any way, shape, or form ever give you tips on how to talk sensitively about death? Given your profession, which we shall not name?
No.
Clearly not. Did you ever watch 6 Feet Under?
Yeah, that's what I thought being an embalmer and being a mortician would do all that.
Yeah, watch it again.
Okay, will do.
And there's tons of special features on this thing. An hour of deleted scenes, an H.G. Lewis trailer reel, a couple of Shaw films, and a gallery of H.G. Lewis exploitation.
Ooh, it's sweet.
So until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance. And hey, Tomb, why don't you get out from the basement and send us off with something dripping with gore?
Oh, green.
Or green, yeah.
Dripping with green.
What the fuck was that all about?
I got something for you. Take this and stick it up in your mother's twat.
Oh, here it is. Fiends, the theme to green. The green slime.
Let's see some green.
Open the door, you'll find the secret. To find the answer is to keep it. You'll believe it when you find something screaming across your mind. Green slime. What can it be? What is the reason? Is this the air to all the region? Is it just something in your head? Will you believe it when you're dead? Green slime! Man has looked out to space in wonder. For thousands of years, sometimes thinking that life could be somewhere, and now it's here. What is the reason? Is this the end to all that we've done? Is it just something in your head? Will you believe it when you're dead? Green slime! Green slime! Green slime! Oh, green slime!
The green slime are here!
This concludes our danse macabre. Portions of the proceeding were recorded. As for the rest of it, I'm very much afraid it was all in your mind.
Thanks for tuning in, fiends. Thanks for bopping along to our spooky little radio broadcast. You can find us online at rumoredradio.com. Dig me up at Twitter and YouTube at Tomb Dragomir, my dear. Until we meet again, my friends. Do we have time for one more Tomb tune? Of course we do, yeah.
Hello.
It's the Little Black Bottles letter to Miguel. Until we meet again, my friends. Adios.
Miguel, come on, let's get below. Miguel, what can I do? Can you...
What?
Let me help.
No, I don't need help.
Come on, give me this.
I'm all right, I'm just tired.
You're not all right. You're collapsing from stress. Let me help.
Stress? We're all collapsing. This whole fucking unit is collapsing, everybody except you. I know you're strong, all right. So what? Stronger than me. Stronger than everyone. So what? So fucking what?
My dear friend Miguel, I've heard you're not feeling so well. You're collapsing due to stress, and the doctors think you should rest a spell. Well, we all know Sarah's strong, and she has the fire to live. But when everything goes wrong, we'll be right back.
Just as afraid as I am. Why don't you take a sedative, Sarah, so you can sleep? You're full of shit, Sarah. You know that you're really full of shit. Screw with you.
Fine, then. Get out.
See some green. That meant gore, which I didn't even know. That was a black expression I would hear in the blaxploitation. Let's see some green, they'd yell.
Damn right.